The message that I want to give is a continuation, Dreaming God's Dream. This is part three. And in Isaiah, there's a passage, and it's kind of based on that. It says, those who, and this is from the King James Version, because I like that version. It says, those who wait, okay? Those who wait for the Lord. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, it doesn't say those who work really hard, you know, will renew their strength. It doesn't say those who are the most gifted will be renew their strength. You know, those who, but this passage, I like this passage, and especially the King James Version, because it says those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, you know, part one of this series, we talked about, you know, we looked at Joseph and how he overcame rejection to follow God's dream. You know, that was part one. And then part two, we looked at Daniel and how he overcame spiritual battle to follow God's dream. Right? And today, there's something that both Joseph and Daniel faced to follow God's dream. Right? And what was that? It was a delay. You know, there was a delay to fulfilling the dream of God that they had for their life. They had to wait. Okay? They had to wait. They had to wait for the Lord. They couldn't run ahead of him. Okay? They couldn't try to do it by themselves, but they waited for the Lord. And, you know, in this modern culture, I don't like to wait. You don't like to wait. I don't like delay. Nobody likes to wait. You know, nobody likes to, you know, raise your hand if you like to wait in traffic. You know, raise your hand. Yeah, you know? Wait in line. Wait for deliveries. You know, or you know, wait for your file. You know, to load. We don't like to wait. But it is our inability to wait that prevents God's dream to be fulfilled. Believe it or not. Okay? Did you hear me? It is our inability to wait that prevents fulfilling God's dream for our life. For example, a child that don't know how to wait, what happens to a child that don't know how to wait? They don't mature. Okay? In our inability to delay gratification causes death. You know, a lot of unnecessary conflict starts because we're too quick. We don't know how to wait. We're too quick to jump into judgment. We fall into sin because we don't know how to wait. Our prayer life is weak because we don't know how to wait. And the Bible says in Psalm 46, we do not know God because we don't know how to be still. What it's saying is, we do not know God because we do not know how to wait. When you look at Scripture, there's always a delay in fulfilling God's dream. You know, there's a psalm. I don't like this psalm. It says, 1,000 years in God's sight is like one day. You know, 1,000 years. You know, that's why when Jesus says, I'll come back soon in the book of Revelation, it's been 2,000 years, God. You know, he said that, I'll come back soon in Revelation. That was 2,000 years ago. So what I see is God's timing. It's not the same as our timing. You know, fulfilling God's dream for your life takes time. There is a waiting period. There is a delay. Why do we have to wait? You know, because God could do anything. He could just, you know, he says, let there be light. And he created the universe in 6 days. You know, he could do everything fast, but because God wants to partner with you, because God wants to prepare you, Because God wants to work through you. Because God wants to transform and change you. It takes time. It takes time. Joseph waited 13 years, you know, from being sold as a slave to interpreting the Pharaoh's dream that opened up God's dream for his life. David waited 30 years, you know, as a child he was anointed to become the king of Israel. 30 years later, he becomes the king of Judah. Apostle Paul waited 12 years on the road to Damascus. He has a powerful conversion experience, and God tells him the purpose for his life, I'm going to use you to save the Gentiles. Well, it took 12 years before he went on his first missionary trip to the Gentiles. Abraham, God tells Abraham, I am going to bless you. Through you, there's going to be a nation. And Abraham waited 25 years before Isaac was born. Moses tried to set God's people free, but it didn't work out. He waited 40 years. Before God used him to deliver God's people from slavery. Jesus, even the Son of God, was born incarnated on earth as a baby. He had to wait, even the Son of God had to wait 30 years before he began his ministry. The Son of God. You know, so I got 3 points, like usual. Right? Why waiting is important, okay? Why waiting is important. Number one, waiting prepares you, okay? And online and in here, tell the people next to you, waiting prepares you, okay? Or just speak it out, yeah, waiting prepares you. You know, like, for example, a seed, you know, I don't know what this seed was made for. If you just look at a seed, you can't tell. Okay? The seed has to wait to see what it was created for. When I plant the seed, I don't go out next day and expect to see the fruit. There's always a wait. There's a delay. And when it comes to fulfilling God's dream for your life, you know, what we want is this instant anointing, instant power, instant result, instant change. You know, when it comes to fulfilling God's dream for our life, we want it to happen immediately. And some people, what they do is they point to scripture in the book of Acts. This is what I see at Pentecost. In the book of Acts, there was instant power, instant anointing, instant result. 3,000 people come to the Lord in one day, right? There was no waiting, there was no delay, but they forget. Jesus spent 3 years preparing the disciples, preparing their heart to hold the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit to reign and move and direct their life. 3 years. You know, fulfilling God's dream for our life. There's no pill that we could take to instantly transform and change. There's no checkout line for God's anointing. There's no switch that turns on the power of God. There's no microwave for instant healing. And there's no program that will reach the world instantly. You know, when I look at some of the things that God prepared for me over the years, and I look, if I had a timeline, you know, this, you know, God developed teaching gift and leadership gift for the last 30 years. It's been 30 years. God been developing my prophetic gift and my counseling and inner healing gift for the last 20 years. God's been developing my gift of healing for the last 15 years. See, when you want instant anointing, instant power, instant transformation, and instant result, you need to be very careful, because this is where abuse happens. This is where abuse happens. This is where, when you want something instantly, this is where people and the church and Christians starts to try to force things to happen, put pressure on other people to make something happen, use hype to pretend something has happened when nothing happened. See, when you can't wait, this is where people prophesy from their brokenness and bitterness and judgment. This is where healing becomes a show, because of an entertainment. This is where revival is human wisdom and not the power of God. If you don't know how to wait. In your waiting, it prepares us, because it develops our faith. Okay? When things instantly happen, you know what happens to a lot of people? I did it. I did it. It was me. You know. Yeah, just the thought that came to my mind was about missions. You know, I've been praying so long about missions. When it happens, I know without any doubt it was God, because it took so long. You know, it's taking so long. I have no doubt that it is God. Your prayer life, you know, by learning how to wait, you develop faith in prayer. Faith is not when prayer is answered instantly. Faith is developed in prayer in waiting. People who don't have faith in prayer, you know what I see? They give up praying when their prayer is not answered. In time of waiting, they don't pray. People who have faith in prayer, in time of waiting, they continue to pray. They continue to pray. You know, in the time of waiting, it prepares us. You and I will learn how to depend on God. You and I will learn to wait for God's timing. You learn to walk God's way and not your own way. You and I learn to walk out His purpose, not our own purpose. You know, how do you know if you have pure motive when you are serving in church, serving others, when you're heading ministries, when you're heading, you know, ministry department, when you are in front of people, doing ministry? How do you know that you have a pure motive? If you don't know how to wait, a lot of time the motive is off. When you don't know how to wait, as you serve, what do I mean? The motive might be off. It is for people's applause. That's why you serve. It is to be noticed. It might be for a position. It might be even for money or even power. I saw this growing up in my childhood church. There was in this childhood church, there's always conflict in the church when there was an elder election in the church. There was always a conflict in the church when we had elder election, because someone was not elected who they expected to be elected, but they were not elected to be the elder. This person could not wait. So what do? They cause conflict in the church. David in the Bible knew how to wait. And in the waiting, David was prepared to become the king of Israel. I believe this. In the waiting, David learned and was prepared to become the king of Israel. In the Bible, two times David could have immediately become the king. Why? He had this opportunity to kill Saul, who was the king of Israel at that time. But David, two times, spared Saul's life. It was Saul who was keeping him down. It was Saul that was making his life miserable. It was because of Saul, David had to run away as he was. David was so popular in Israel. He was so popular in the palace. But because of Saul, he had to run away from home. He had to run away from the palace. It was because of Saul. And in 1 Samuel 26, David, you know, had this opportunity to kill Saul. And one of his men said this, "This is God's will." One of his men, when he saw Saul and they had this opportunity to kill him, "This is God's will. God has delivered your enemy into your hand. Let's kill him. This is God's will." You know what David said? "No. Leave him be. The Lord himself will do it. I'm going to wait for God to make me king. I'm not going to do it myself. I'm going to wait." He says, "I am not going to make myself king. I will wait for God to lift me up. I will wait for God to make me king." He knew how to wait. And because he knew how to wait, he was prepared in that waiting period to become the king of Israel. Do I hear an amen? I feel like I'm online. You guys encourage me. Number two, waiting shows God's kindness. You know, we don't like to wait, but when I look at scripture, waiting shows God's kindness. There's a passage in Romans chapter 2, it says, "Do you show contempt for the riches of God's kindness?" Okay? It's talking about God's kindness. And in this passage, it describes God's kindness by showing the character of forbearance and patience. Not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead us into repentance. So how does God show kindness? The Bible, this passage says, by showing forbearance. I didn't know what that meant, so I looked it up. It means patience. So it's kind of like, say, God showing kindness by showing patience and patience. Forbearance and patience. Okay? They're kind of synonyms. In another word, okay, showing patience, God showing patience, God's waiting. Okay? God is waiting. And in this passage, God waiting. His patience and forbearance is showing the kindness of God. By waiting, we're seeing God's kindness. And when you see that kind of kindness, that specific kind of kindness, there will be repentance. It's not by going, "Sinners! Okay? Evil!" You know? "Gluttons and immoral people," that you repent. That's not where repentance comes from, biblically. But the Bible says, because God shows patience, because God knows how to wait, you encounter the kindness of God, and that kindness leads to repentance. That kindness. You know, many people have different view of God. They see God as harsh and demanding. What does that mean? When you see God as harsh and demanding, God can't wait. That's what it means. God can't wait. God is not patient. The way they see God is, the moment I break one law, he will punish me immediately. There will be severe consequences. And this is the reason, you know, if you have this wrong view of God, this is the reason we got to get our act together. This is the reason we got to repent. We got to change. You know, why? So you could change because you know that God waits. He is patient. When you know that He's patient, you encounter the kindness of God that makes you repent. Or you believe God is harsh, He's demanding, He's not patient. Right? So we got to get our act together. Because why? God does not wait. God is not patient with us. Then you do not understand the gospel of Jesus. You do not understand Christian gospel. Instead of the gospel, you're relying upon the law for salvation. And the Bible talks about this. You're relying upon the law to lead you into repentance. And law, the Bible says, leads to work and performance. It's a different kind of repentance. It's a human effort repentance, not the kindness of God repentance. Law that leads to work and performance, there is no patience. Think about it, work. Think of work. Your boss at work, you're 10 minutes late, and you get a lecture. There's no patience. Think about, you know, performance. If there's no patience in there's no patience in performance. You make one mistake, you get a lower grade. You make one mistake, you get a lower grade. There is no kindness in the law. With your sin, the law is very impatient with you. In your sin, there is no waiting. But what the Bible is trying to say, Catalyst, God is different. God waits. God is patient. God took time to work out the perfect redemptive work. Instead of law, God shows kindness. God sent His only Son to die for your sin and my sin. God didn't ask for performance, but the Bible says, whosoever believes in Jesus will have new life. When you truly understand the gospel, how do I know if you understand the gospel? If you understand the gospel, you realize God is kind. When you don't understand the gospel, in your heart, there's just fear of punishment. It is performance. It is works. It is in God waiting. You and I see the solution to sin is not work and performance. The real solution, God's solution, for God so loved the world because He is so kind, He gave His only Son, Jesus. The real solution is His Son, Jesus. And so, we see the kindness of God in waiting. And so God is telling us, point number three, waiting shows our kindness as a church. Waiting shows our kindness as a church. You know, be honest, if you're going through a hard time, you're discouraged, you made a mistake, you failed, you feel weak, you feel inadequate, you feel insecure. How many of you, you know, will go to a critical, self-righteous, impatient, harsh, and demanding person? No, I'm not. When you feel weak, You want to talk to someone who is kind. Okay, who is kind? So what does it mean by kind? Who will show you patience? Who will show you patience? You know, during this storm, as we were, you know, this storm that's going around the world and in our nation, right, all around us, this is what I see happening. More and more people don't know how to wait. People don't know how to show patience. People don't know how to show God's kindness. They could pick out what's wrong with everything around them, but they don't know how to show God's kindness. You know, nowadays, if you have a different ideology, if you belong to a different group, different political party, if you make a mistake, if you say something wrong, there's no more patience. Meaning, there's no more kindness. You know, when I watch the media, people are being canceled for a mistake that they made 15 years ago. There's no room to disagree, you know, and still have a relationship. There's no more giving the benefit of the doubt. In the world, this is the trend right now. There is no waiting. There is no patience. If no patience, there's no kindness. Did you hear it? There's no kindness. Without kindness, there will be no tolerance, no forgiveness, no room to change. It will lead to more conflict, more division, more violence, and more destruction. More and more, there's less patience, there's less grace, there's less mercy and kindness. No room to dialogue, no room to believe a person might change or have changed. No time to change. No room for forgiveness. You know, it used to be the church that demonized others that did not agree with the church. But this is what's happening in the world right now, around us. You demonize when you have no patience. We need, as a church, to understand our God is patient. Our God is kind. And when we know how to wait, okay, there's patience to dialogue, to listen, to forgive, to repent, to change, to change. The world is saying that we don't need to wait, we don't need to be patient, we don't need to be kind. Just cancel everybody who don't agree with us. Just criticize. Well, that will lead to destruction. But the church, we needed to go the opposite way of the world. More than any time since I've been born, the church need to show God's kindness. Yeah. We need to show the world how to wait, how to be patient. You know, I said this a few weeks ago in 1 Corinthians 13, okay? The first characteristic of God, of love, which is God, Okay? Is love is patient. And then it mentions love is kind, does not envy, not boast, not proud, keep no record of wrong. It protects, it trusts, it hopes, it perseveres. If you look at all that list, it's all good, right? And some of you will say, you know, not boasting, you know, it's the most important thing. Keeping no record of wrong is the most important thing. Hoping is the most important thing. But the Bible puts patience as the first thing. Without patience, you will judge very quickly. Without patience, you cannot be kind. The mercy and love and the peace of God is there. There's room for those, the mercy and the grace of God and the kindness of God, because God is patient. If he wasn't patient, the moment we sinned, we should have been destroyed. You can't practice mercy, grace, love, and kindness without patience. So this is my challenge to Catalyst. There are people in your life, okay? Holy Spirit, show us, okay, that God is asking you to show patience. Who is that? There are people in your life, that God is asking you to show patience. You could curse that person out. You could be harsh. Okay? You could reject that person. You could be demanding. God is asking you to imitate and follow him. Show the character of waiting. What God is asking us as a church, show kindness. Let's move in the opposite way as a church. Opposite way of the devil, opposite way of this world. By showing God's kindness. And the church said, amen. Let's pray.